morning sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The sermon this morning is a continuation of a sermon series entitled Answers for Anxious Times, during which we are considering biblical passages which address how we can navigate through the sorts of anxious times that we are experiencing today. This morning, we are focusing on messages in the prophet Habakkuk and also in the writings of Paul and Peter. Let's be in a moment for a spirit of prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One day, years ago, my wife Mavis and I were hiking at Glacier National Park along a trail which at one point had a sheer rock wall on one side of the trail and a steep downward slope on the other side of the trail. Suddenly, we came to a spot where there was a thick layer of icy snow across the trail and down the long slope. As we stared gloomily at the trail, realizing that we were going no further, along came a couple of mountain goats, which are prevalent at Glacier Park, and without a moment's hesitation, they began trudging right across the steep slope, their hooves cutting into the icy stuff beneath them. The prophet Habakkuk would not have seen a North American mountain goat in the Holy Land, but he had some similar creature in mind when he wrote, "God makes my feet like the feet of a deer. God enables me to tread upon the heights." The Hebrew word translated here as deer is ayalah, which can mean a deer, but which can also be used to denote any sort of agile hoofed animal. The image is a poignant and memorable one. Habakkuk is saying that even when the way in front of us is rough and perilous, God will enable us to journey through it. When we face tough times in life, often what we want God to do is to remove the difficulties. We would like God to take the path ahead of us and make it smooth and clear and easy. Habakkuk, however, did not find his path to be at all easy. He lived in the late 7th century BC, a time when there was a great deal of injustice and idolatry in the society around him, and when the brutal Babylonian Empire was conquering much of the ancient Near East and was gradually approaching Jerusalem. What Habakkuk found through faith was that God would give him the strength, the ability, and the vision to navigate through rough times. In Jesus' final teachings to his disciples, he said to them at one point, "In the world you will have tribulation." Jesus spells out exactly what Habakkuk discovered, that even the closest followers of God can expect to hit rough times. But then immediately Jesus said, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus promises that by his power, we can find the way through tribulation. Jesus' followers found his words to be precisely true. Paul and Peter, along with the other apostles, hit enormous troubles, but by the empowerment of Christ, they were able to surmount difficulties, and they experienced God's purposes unfolding mightily through their lives. In fact, they discovered in the process that they grew spiritually. Paul talked about this in that passage we heard from Romans, where he said, "Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We talked last Sunday about this truth, how through faith in Christ we find a deep peace in God. And not only that, but we also glory in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Paul is saying that tough times can have a positive result in that through them, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we can grow in endurance and character and hope and love. There is a basic principle here that we often affirm in many areas of life, that confronting difficult challenge often, in the end, produces positive personal development. Athletes, for example, in most any sport, will engage in rigorous drills and extensive practices, and oftentimes punishing exercise in order to improve their athletic ability. Scholars will embark into rigorous study and long hours of research in order to master their subject. So also in the spiritual life, we often willingly undertake challenges as a part of our commitment to God, or sometimes the circumstances of life will thrust difficulties upon us. But either way, it is often in grappling with challenges that we most deeply grow as God's people. Throughout the centuries, theologians have observed that this reality can help us to understand why God has placed us in the first place into a world that is full of hard edges and all sorts of trials and pains. If God is good, as we affirm at the start of every worship service, people often wonder why God has not made the world a more comfortable and cushioned place. But when we recognize that God's good will for us on this earth is that we would grow in character and virtue and faith, then it makes sense that we are in this world that is full of obstacles and trials because it is in such an environment that we are most likely to spiritually mature, as Paul would say in his letter to the Ephesians, growing toward the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This means that as we confront difficulties, it is very helpful to keep in mind the larger picture, recognizing how each challenge is an opportunity for growth in faith and in our spiritual strength, that each difficulty is one piece in a great journey towards God's eternal calling for us. We see this kind of perspective in the Apostle Peter, in that passage we heard earlier, when he said, "By God's great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. In this you rejoice, even if now, for a little while, you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Peter is saying that when we must suffer various trials, we need to keep our eye on God's eternal promises, where we are heading, and how we are journeying through all this towards a glorious destiny. Nolan Cross recently passed on to me a story about a country church where one Sunday morning, the pastor called upon one of the older members of the church, Brother Bob, to say a prayer. Brother Bob stood up, bowed his head, and said, "Lord, I hate buttermilk." The pastor immediately began to think that maybe it was a big mistake calling on Brother Bob. Brother Bob continued, "And Lord, I really hate lard." Now the pastor was seriously wondering where all this was going. "And Lord," Brother Bob went on, "I ain't so crazy about plain flour neither. But," he went on to say, "mix them all together, bake them in a hot oven, and you've got biscuits. And I love biscuits." The pastor was still thoroughly perplexed as to the point of all this, but Brother Bob continued. "Lord," he said, "help us to realize that when things come up that we don't like, we need to wait to see what you are making. Because when you get through mixing and baking, what comes out in the end is likely to be way better than biscuits. Amen." Whenever we encounter unpleasant elements in life, our natural tendency is to focus on the particular unpleasant element that is before us. But it helps greatly to realize that God can fit everything into His good purpose, so that, as Paul says elsewhere, all things work together for good. When we join ourselves with God's purpose, we can have the assurance that all the displeasing aspects of life that we encounter will be far surpassed by what God has in store for us. When we stand in such faith, then even in the midst of considerable trouble, we can find a peace and confidence and a deep joy in God. Habakkuk talked about this when he said, "Though the fig tree do not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Things are looking pretty bad here, and there does not seem to be any improvement. Yet," he continues, "I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." People often want to think that the way to happiness is to have an abundance of good things and an absence of trouble. This is why happiness for so many is so elusive, because there are always things that we lack, and there's always some kind of trouble, either present or on the horizon. But Habakkuk affirms that there is a deep joy to be found, not so much in our outward circumstances, but in the presence of God, and in our sharing in the purposes of God. That, of course, does not mean that Habakkuk was pleased with everything that was going on in his life. In the book of Habakkuk as a whole, Habakkuk laments the considerable trouble that he was seeing in the world of his day. Today, we are troubled by the news almost every day. Today's headlines announcing that coronavirus cases were reaching a new high. We lament the injustices that we see in the society around us and are troubled by all the problems we see across the world. We also may lament troubles in our own personal lives and the lives of loved ones. But Habakkuk responds to everything finally with a profound trust in God. He has confidence that ultimately God will bring good out of even the worst trouble. Such confidence that God brings good out of evil would find its ultimate expression in God's action through Jesus on the cross. In the meantime, Habakkuk's faith would not depend on everything in his life going smoothly. He will stay with God even if there are no crops or herds. His happiness does not depend on everything going right. He will find a deeper joy in God, even if all else around him is chaos and trouble. Habakkuk does not expect God to make everything easy. One thing he looks for from God, the empowerment to meet the challenges of life that come his way, and thereby to rest in the strength, the guidance, the power of God's gracious presence. Habakkuk thus issues the call to each one of us to live in the same kind of faith. When we are facing serious trials or losses or threats, we need not fall into despair, but with Habakkuk, we can put our trust in God. We can rely on the enabling power of God's Spirit, and in the face of rough and rocky times, we can say, "God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and enables me to tread upon the heights." Let us pray. O Lord, in these troubled times, guide us like Habakkuk to look to you with faith, to recognize how you are at work for good, to see how you are reaching to us with your grace, your uplifting and saving power. You are here with us to guide us on our journey, to strengthen us on our way, to uphold us, O Lord, in your everlasting love. Move us, O God, as we would place our faith in you and as we receive how your Spirit would work in us. Guide us as we journey on today's paths, recognizing that even as the path is sometimes very difficult, you will enable us to be on solid ground, trusting in you, being inspired by your presence, guided in the right ways by your Spirit, moved to recognize that our destiny with you is one of infinite glory, the love and life that we will share in your eternal kingdom. Move us, Lord, as we journey on our paths to realize we do not need to journey alone, but you draw us together in a community of faith. We thank you for the church, the opportunity to grow together in faith, to be joined together even as we're physically separated, to be joined in your spirit, and to be empowered by you to continue to reach out in mission to the world. We do reach out to people who are in times of particular need. We pray for those who are sick, and pray especially this morning for Diana Douglas, Julie Foster, and Lois Dillenbach, praying for your healing power. Remember those who are mourning. We lift up in our prayers Shirley Dana and family on the death of her father, Walt Chisholm. We thank you, Lord, for his witness for many years in the life of our annual conference. And we lift up the family and friends of Ken Wirtz, thanking you, Lord, for his witness and his leadership for many years in the life of this congregation. Lord, we pray that you would guide us to have that assurance of your everlasting promises, to know that your children live forever with you. We thank you, Lord, for the many gifts and blessings of this life. We do ask your blessing upon Andrew and Chelsea Alderson as they have begun their lives together in marriage. We ask your guidance, O Lord, for all families, that we might truly grow as your people. And we thank you, Lord, that we are part of a larger family of God. We pray for our fellow United Methodists this morning at the Lockwood United Methodist Church, and pray that you would empower us as we journey in faith and as we would reach out into your world. Lead us, O Lord, that we might be instruments of your grace, your compassion, your truth, your care. Inspire us, O God, as along with the prophets, along with the apostles, we would place our trust in you, taking hold of your infinite grace, journeying as your people, reaching out with your love, and lifting to you the praise. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's Notes from the Pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.